Hello and welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. I am your hostess, Natalie Ross, and this week's guest is Sundar Ashni, who is a flower essence therapist, meditation facilitator, and soul counselor. I hope you will enjoy this episode today, and I also want to share with you that my guest, Nikki Silvestri from episode 102, with whom I got deep and dirty about shadow work with, will be coming to do a free live online Q&A gathering on May 22nd. So if you would like to join this live online gathering for free, then get on my mailing list at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret, and you will get all the details through my emails. I will see you there. Thank you. Welcome to the show, Ashni. I am so excited to talk to you today.
Me too. So much juicy things. So many juicy things to dive into.
Yes. So before we get started, do you want to lead us on an invocation?
I would love to.
Go for it.
So everyone, just wherever you are, just land, you know, whether you're driving or sitting or lying down. Just taking a deep breath in and drawing all of your seven energetic bodies into this eternal now. And breathe. And we'll just invoke the directions. Calling on and invoking, honoring the direction of the east, the direction of Quetzalcoatl, the golden eagle and the new dawn. As we call on this direction, honoring the new beginnings, and breathe. Honoring the direction of the west, Chipitotec. This is the place of the warrior women, the place of letting go. And as we breathe and honor and invite this energy into this space, we honor all that is ready to be released in this moment within our beings and in the world. And breathe as we invoke honor and call in the direction of the north, the place of the smoky mirror. Blessing and honoring this place of our ancestors, the place of wisdom, the white buffalo calf woman, the snowy white owl, and all the beings that bring us this wisdom, that have held this wisdom for eternities and carry it so that we may walk forward in a space of integrity and truth. And breathe, and invoking and inviting in this energy of the south, the energy of Huitzli Lapochli, the hummingbird, space of harmony, joy, harmony through conflict, harmony through drawing upon the will force, inviting, honoring, and respecting this energy as we open our call today. Honoring the energy of the above, Father Sky, the one who sees all, the one who holds the stars, moons, planets, suns in its embrace, that sees the big picture. It's inviting this energy to be present in this with us today. And breathe. And honoring the energy of the earth, Pachamama Tonantzinklali, the one that we walk upon, and the great teacher in this beautiful life that we get to learn from, learn with, giving thanks for the fruits and flowers which are now starting to make their way up from the depths, from your depths. We honor the depths from which we all come. And breathing into the center, the heart, the place where we're all connected, love. This energy and quality which permeates all things. May love permeate this space that we've created today, in this eternal now, to be here together in the space of the heart. and so it is.
Thank you. So that must be your bell you spoke of in your self-care club episode that you ring and the children that you work with love it.
Yes, that is. It is a magical bell. They hear it and they're like, ah.
It is.
It's my secret. It's my secret trick. Yeah.
It's funny. I wonder if humans are just innately programmed. And I mean, it's frequency, it's sound, it's vibration, and we hear that. And what I am not, my conscious mind does not know what notes they are, but do you want to share this if that bell has a specific note or frequency or anything about that?
I don't know if this one does. I might have known at some point, but I don't know. I just feel like it's really connected to the heart. Mm-hmm. It's like this heart mind, like it's a sound that for me is like one that brings alertness to the heart and to the mind. So I'm not sure what particular note actually it is.
Yeah, it feels very clarifying.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Good stuff.
Welcome. Yes.
And welcome, spirits.
Mm. Welcome, spirits. Welcome, benevolent ancestors and guides and angels and all of you.
Mm-hmm. All of you listeners. Ooh. Spirit party here.
Oh, yeah. It's a spirit party time. They are making themselves known.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
Totally.
Yeah.
So before we get started, I just want to ask you to share your full name, Sundar Ashni, and what it means, because it is, I love it, and I think the listeners will love it too, and it really, it's just resonates like your bell with its own power.
Thank you. I'd love to share all my names.
Okay, so, share all your names.
So I was born Kimberly Tiffany Messiah, and Kimberly means keeper of the king's forest, and the name Messiah comes from my father, and I mean, that has its own energy that I have actually been exploring for most of my life, and it's just interesting that's the name that I was born with. Mm. And from that space, being born with that name, I actually chose, about, was it 13 years ago, maybe 13 or 14 years ago, to become a sannyasin of Osho. And when I got that name, it was another huge initiation. And that name is Sundar Ashni. And Sundar, the first part of the name, they say is the path that you walk in life. And the second part of the name is the quality with which you walk through life. So Sundar is beauty. So I am here to walk the path of beauty. And Ashni means the quality of lightning. And so I'm here to walk on the path of beauty with the quality of lightning. And I'm also a moon dancer. And maybe some of you know what that is. Maybe some of you don't. But the moon dancer, I'm a moon dancer. And this tradition comes from Mexico. My abuela's abuela Ana eats papalot. And Malinali and Abuela Carmen, Abuela Mercedes, and some beautiful abuelas have brought these traditions back to us from these ancient Mayan codices. They've studied these codices that basically show diagrams of women dancing with all sorts of tools in different directions. I've been a moon dancer this would have been my sixth year dancing. And so 2 years ago, I received my Mexica name, and it's Itzel. And Itzel means unique. So those are all my names. Mm-hmm. So I'm Kimberly Tiffany Messiah Sundar Ashni Itzel.
you go on a date with someone, and if they can't remember your names, they're good. They're done.
They're done. It's over. Like, what? Or you could just call me A. You could call me, you know, just like
I love pick a letter. Ashni. It's such a pretty, yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your names and beauty lightning. Beauty lightning. Mm-hmm. Walking yes. the path of beauty, the quality of lightning.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Woo! And that yeah. And it's not necessarily I'm not going to say that it's not easy, because my soul finds it extremely easy, but I guess living in the days and times that we do now, and living in New York City, my humanoid aspects, it can be a challenge. It can be a challenge because there are many things that I just don't understand, just to keep it real. Like, there are just things that I don't understand about how we've constructed and chosen to collectively live this reality, that it's just a challenge for me. So I would say sometimes walking upon this beauty path with these qualities of lightning brings challenges, and give me opportunity to grow and expand, and also deepen my understanding of why I'm here, deepen my understanding that, like, actually there's so much that I don't know, and deepen my ability to humbly walk on this earth as a child. I'm a child here. I'm a child of this earth, and I'm grateful for that, actually. Mm-hmm. It's really a gift, so.
Well, speaking to some of that, before we got on the call, we were talking about untangling knots and putting together pieces of the puzzle and how living in these times, you know, our spirits must love untangling knots, you know, otherwise we wouldn't have come to this time and place. And, you know, right now it seems that there's so much unweaving and reweaving occurring, and it's just, you know, it's never ending. So I want to ask you, what kind of unweaving, untangling, and reweaving are you experiencing in the moment?
Well, in this moment, I'm unraveling. I'm unraveling the concepts of that I have about myself and what I'm here to do, and how I'm here to do it. You know, when I started. On this journey, like, I don't know how many years ago, maybe almost 2 decades ago, I had all these ideals and like fantasies and in about what it was gonna be like to live this sort of spirited life.
Can you share with us one of those fantasies?
Well, I thought that, you know, when you reached enlightenment, like, that was going to be it. Because when my journey into, like, first exploring spirituality and spirit beyond what I grew up with, started with Buddhism. And so, like, I thought that, you know, like, once you become enlightened, like the Buddha, basically, like, you're just kind of in this, like, super peaceful space where, you know, like, nothing touches you, nothing moves you, and where you're just kind of, you know, unaffected by the world. And the reality I've discovered that, like, that's completely unraveled now. It's like, that shit is, like, that's not the way things go at all. What I'm realizing is actually the deeper that you, the closer that you are to your center, and as you find this ability to connect to your center more and more, and to give space for the sensitivity and the vulnerability, we actually feel more. We actually become even more aware of the things that are out of alignment in the world. Become more aware of the things that we actually need to pray for and be conscious of. So this enlightenment, it is like, it's like we're turning on the light. We're turning on the light, and that light shines on everything.
Lightning. You know, that,
yes, exactly. You know, the light shines on everything. And that light isn't a discriminatory light. It's not like this is good or this is bad, but this is just what's going on. And this is what is. And how and what are we going to do with that? How are we going to choose now to respond to those things? So now, like, unraveling all those ideas and concepts that I had about spirituality and even like meditation and what that was supposed to be, what that was supposed to look like, having a quote unquote empty mind. Like the reality of the mind is just like that. The function of the mind is to categorize, is to put things in, you know, into little boxes, is to take and take things and translate things. So it's working. It's like this machine. That's the function of the mind. And to try to get, you know, try to say, okay, we need to stop those thoughts, or, you know, stop the thinking, or to, in some cases, for some people, you know, even in the spiritual path, numb or bypass the feelings, like, that's not the purpose of meditation. And that actually can bring a lot more trauma to the soul and to the spirit, you know?
I mean, damming up your flow.
Exactly. You're damming it up, you're suppressing, and you're pushing it down. And so that you're trying to sit silently, but you're sitting on top of a fucking volcano.
Yeah.
You know? And that is really uncomfortable. But yet, you know, many people do that and feel like that there's something wrong if they're unable to stop their mind from thinking thoughts. And I'm not saying that there are definitely, especially the amazing people that I've had the gift of practicing Buddhism with, also have shared that gift and understanding that it's not necessarily about stopping the mind. The mind is going to continue to do what it is, but again, it's about choosing how we're going to respond to those things that arise. How are you choosing to respond to those thoughts that arise? How are you choosing to respond to the sensations? From what space are you choosing to respond? So yeah, that's kind of what I'm unraveling, like the concepts that I've had about life and how what that life looks like, what a spirited life looks like. And especially like being back in the city now for 3 years after having lived in what my spirit, soul, every part of me was like, this is paradise, this is everything I want. After living in Costa Rica for 3 years, I've really been unraveling what paradise is. And what it means to live and walk this beauty path with integrity and authenticity. And it's been a real journey coming from that space back to the place where I was born and seeing, you know, how much of a challenge it has been for me to reintegrate. And through that challenge, really deepening my practice and finding more clarity than I've had in years, and more depth and authenticity and vulnerability that I've experienced and found in years.
Interesting. So, with this unraveling, part of what you mentioned there has to do with where are you essentially sourcing these ideas about things from? And I, you know, that's a lot of times in spiritual communities, we talk about alignment, get aligned. I kind of want to see two sides of the coin of alignment. Like, what were you aligned with before your spiritual path, and what would you say you align with now?
Yeah, aligned. Like
Like, what are these different
before.
alignments?
Yeah, like, because what is alignment? Because we can be, what are you aligning with? What
Right.
are we aligning with? So I feel that before I was really aligned with some external concept and belief of what and who I should be. And so that was really so interesting because as I say it, it's like I was focusing on an external, like this external perspective of myself, almost as if like somebody was like looking in at me. I was aligning with the perception of something outside of myself, as if what was outside and the perception of how, like, what others would think of me, you know, what the Buddha, how the Buddha would view me, how the Buddha is like looking at me now. But that's just an external concept. That is an idea. That's a construct that I'm aligning with, that humans have created. All of these things are construct, they're energies and beautiful ones at that, you know, with the Buddha bringing so much compassion into my life. But still, at that point, it was aligning with an external force, aligning with something outside of myself that was giving me rules and conditions that I needed to adhere to in order to be aligned, in order to find peace, in order to find love, in order to be successful. And I feel like that's a condition that I'm not alone in growing up in
Right.
that, you know,
I would
that
say that's the
we're,
vast majority of people.
yeah, you know, I don't want to make any assumptions, but I mean, that's what it feels like. We are taught to align something outside of ourselves to let us know that we are good enough, that we're beautiful, that we're sexy, that we're intelligent, but
That we're worthy.
that we're worthy, that anything, that we're successful, you know, all these things. And so now, as I continue to unravel, I'm aligning myself more with these internal, with an internal knowing. And it's not that it's separate from anything, but the more that I dive into myself, and it's not about like I'm diving into myself like in this ego thing of like thinking about my personality, but really diving into the part of myself which is connected to all beings. The more that I dive into and explore and like begin to discover those internal aspects of my being, the more I feel that I am aligning with truth and love and true justice. Because I truly believe that there is something within each and every one of us that we know, you know, and they call it like I'm getting like a picture of like, is it Tom and Jerry or you know, like one of those cartoons where they have like the devil and the angel over the shoulders, like the, you know, like our conscious, like our inner compass, our conscious, our consciousness, our conscience, that part of us that just knows. It's like not that anybody ever needs to tell us. It's just like I believe, and I know that this with children too. Like I work with them, and you don't necessarily, they already know. They come in knowing. No one needs to necessarily tell them anything, but they've come here to learn and be told and learn these ways and look at the outside. So, I mean, and that's part of the experience that we've also chosen. But another part of our experience, and I feel that many people forget about, is like diving into that part of ourselves that is connected to everything. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that fractal. Have you seen, like, I have like a fractal coloring book. And fractals are, you know, like how within the fractal, like there exists within the larger exists the mirror, exists the reflection of the small, and within the small is the large. Everything is everything.
Mm-hmm. It's like holographic too.
Mm-hmm. It's holographic. And so I was learning, and we mostly learn to align with the external because that's like, that's just, I don't know if it's easier or if it's just, I'm not sure how we decided that that was the way.
Right. I can't find the answer to why.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I just gave up on that question.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that it was a bad thing that I was even aligned with the external. It's just now I'm starting to kind of find the balance between both things. Like, how do I dive in? And the invocation that we did in the beginning is a calling in of the directions that I learned from my grandmothers. And a beautiful, I can't remember who said this to me, but a beautiful sister once shared, the reason why we call the directions in is so that we can orientate ourselves, so that we can know where we are. We call on the directions of the east, the west, the north, the south, the above, the below, and the center, so that we can orient ourselves in this space. Mm-hmm. You know, and now with the, in the days and times, we have GPS and all these mappings. Now, we don't necessarily use maps anymore, but I'm getting like that imagery of coordinates, you know, and like when you used to be able to go on the map and be like F5 and like, you know, you go across and then you go down and then you find F5.
What's your F5?
What's your F5? It's like, you know, like orientating ourselves because we are within this dimension. And this dimension has different energetic points and coordinates.
Right.
You know, and so because we are, yes, we're in this human form, but we're also multidimensional beings. So when we're dreaming, daydreaming or dreaming in our beds or walking around on the earth, we're constantly on the move and constantly touching on these different coordinates and different points. So it becomes a necessity to occasionally, you know, maybe even daily, reorientate ourselves to these elements, these things that have been here forever. You know, the earth, the air, the fire, and the water. And these are external things that we recognize outside of ourselves. But again, that we are microcosms of, that we are also earth, my body, my bones, my blood. You know, my breath is, you know, all of that, my fire, my heart, we are that too. Mm-hmm. But we have these external reminders to bring us back to ourselves. And so I would say that now I'm aligning within my own being to these external forces, but not necessarily looking at these external forces as something that's outside of myself. Something that is not part of me, something that I need to strive for or attain to.
Mm-hmm. It's more like a calling forward of those elements within yourself as your guides.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why it's so important. That's why the invocations are so important and they create that container, you know, because like you said, we are multidimensional beings and that's what so much of us have. I mean, that's been conditioned out of us to believe that. Yeah. We're like, no, we're our minds. And right? And like, so returning to that multidimensionality feels very childlike and freeing, but it's also, as an adult, it's also kind of disorienting because as a multidimensional being, you can go in any direction and in any dimension. And so how do you navigate this space? Well, you navigate this space with your tools, with meditation, with calling in the directions, calling forward the divine within you, calling forward the earth as it speaks through you and what we've been talking about here. I love that. And okay, so now you're, I love, thank you for answering that. I don't think I've ever asked anyone specifically on the show about alignment. And I think even though it's so freaking huge and it's used so much, like, what are you aligned with? Because I think alignment still in the spiritual community, like you mentioned with your experience with Buddha, is you were aligning with how does Buddha see me, and like being judged, and like, is, you know, is Buddha judging me as worthy? And it's still like, you know, it, even in that beautiful spiritual tradition, it's still that like kind of fear-based, judgment-based, I want to do it right-based type of perspective. So that shift, so making that shift from outer alignment to inner alignment, what really helped you traverse that journey?
I mean, as you were talking, it's like, you know, there's meditation and, you know, having my practices are a huge part, but I feel like there's so many ways, like just walking on the earth, you know, to some people it's writing, for some people it's working with children, for some people it's going to the, you know, water and taking a swim. I would say that it's not necessarily what I was doing so much, but the quality with which I was doing the things that I was doing, the quality with which I do the things I do. And that quality, like, you know, as we're talking about alignment, is moving out of that fear-based, fear-centered reality to one where I understand, again, I'm not separate. So it's not that the Buddha is judging me, Jesus isn't judging me, you know. I'm judging myself.
Right.
I'm judging myself. I'm competing with myself, I'm competing against some image that I'm creating, that I'm projecting to be better than myself. So what has shifted is not necessarily what I'm doing, but the quality with which I'm doing those things. And moving from a space of compassion and love for myself. And when I say compassion, I'm talking about understanding. I'm talking about like a deep understanding. I was just this morning doing this meditation where, you know, it's drawing in all the suffering of the world and breathing out compassion. And I remember when I first was like starting with this practice, like I had a lot of resistance because I was like, I don't want to take that in. But it's like, no, but what do you mean I don't want to take that in? I am that. Mm-hmm. The suffering that exists in the world, like there's an aspect that of that suffering that I am. And so if I take that in with that understanding that, again, it's not a judgment, I'm not better or worse, that that's just a part of me. There's like a click, there's like an awakening of understanding that arises. A realization of the connection to everything. So it's not like I'm looking out and projecting outwards that this thing is judging me, but I'm looking out in recognition that that's a part of me. And with that understanding, walking with a little bit more trust and peace in my heart, and knowing that I'm not being judged all the time. And really, the only person that's judging me is me. Really. Right. I mean, and, you know, people can say things too. And they might have, not to say that people outside of me might not have opinions. But, like, people are going to have opinions. I remember I had this amazing lover. I still love him. Beautiful man. And we had this whole encounter. And we had an encounter at where we were at a bar basically with a bunch of people, and he had this like magical glove, and he started to like do things to me in the glove, and I kind of stopped him, and then we went off, and I was like, you know, I was so conflicted, you know, I really wanted you to keep going, but at the same time I was so worried about what other people would think. And he said to me at the time, he was like, Ashni, you know, 20% of the time, people don't give a fuck. 25% of the time, people want to be experiencing exactly what you're experiencing. 25% of the time, people are neutral. And 25% of the time, something else. Basically, he was just saying that people are always going to have their opinions. And at the end of it, he said, what do you want your experience to be? Mm. How do you want to experience your life? And so for me, you know, in moving away from that external, and not to say that I have it all perfect, not to say that I don't.
Did you get it right?
No, not to say that I'm like totally there and I don't think about what other people think and all that. I'm still working. It's a work in progress. And as long as I'm here on this earth, I'm going to be learning and growing. Mm-hmm. But moving more and more and more and more and more towards the recognition that I am not separate from anything. And that, no, Jesus is not judging me. And there's not going to be any final judgment day. The judgment is in my day-to-day life. The judgment and, you know, all of these things comes in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these things that we project outside of ourselves to be, you know, like, yes, even that idea of, like, that final judgment. It's like, well, what you think that I don't know. I can't believe that people would really believe that that's something that this all-powerful, all-knowing being would do.
And they live their entire lives under with that, you know, with that inner perspective of what that outer judgment's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, and policing them.
Yes. And I mean, I have also so much love and understanding because I grew up in that too.
Yeah.
I grew up in like, and I think that that's part of why, you know, we talked about it in our other conversation on the self-care club, that when I was growing up, there was like all, it was really about this, like this fear, this all like this God that we should fear. You know, yeah. And that was, I didn't understand that. And then when my brother passed away, like I just began to explore other things because I really didn't believe that this divine being would really want us to be suffering so much. I, you know, suffering is a part of our experience here on this planet. And I think that what I'm learning as I transition from aligning with fear to aligning with more compassion is understanding and shifting my relationship to suffering. Because, you know, like we have all these human created words and suffering has a lot of negative charge to it. But when the reality is that most of us, quote unquote, suffer, like, and again, like that's a word that we've created. And that has created a relationship between ourselves and the things that we experience in this physical body, that is estranged, that feels like, you know, suffering is wrong. I don't think that suffering is wrong. Suffering is just one of the many things that exist within this reality. You know, when you come into this world through your mother's womb, you know, people might describe that as a suffering. Other people describe that as one of the most powerful, blissful experiences that they've ever had in their life, the mothers who birthed the children. And so there is this, you know, there are so many different ways to view one situation. And when we use language sometimes, I feel like it's very limiting. Because suffering, I don't think that it's an all negative thing. As we were talking before, like my body's been going through, oh my God, my body has been going through stuff this week. Like I had to call out of work. Like I have, like there were days that like I was just like in bed, you know, and I would say that quote unquote, my body is suffering when the reality is, yes, I'm experiencing some pain and discomfort. And I'm also experiencing growth and expansion and space and opportunity. And more growth. So, you know, what is it? What really is suffering then? I don't really I don't have I don't know. All I know is that the definition that we get in Webster's dictionary is not sufficient to encompass the full spectrum of what of that word. And I feel like that extends to many of the words that we use to describe our experiences here on this earth.
Yeah, the suffering question, suffering and pain and all of this, I think they exist in our consciousness as the shadow side, the judgment of what they are, and we see mostly their shadow side, but what is their light side? What else is on their spectrum of existence? And you kind of mentioned it here with your body being in pain and you feel like it could be suffering, that it's actually a period of transformation that is portaling through, bringing through new growth. And it's like letting go of something old or decaying something old, giving death to something old, and making space for something new to come through. And I think when we resist that experience is and judge that experience as wrong or bad or unsuccessful or failure is, a huge part of how we get stuck in that suffering and victim mode.
As if there's something wrong with experiencing pain.
Right.
Like the reality is, most of us walk around with some sort of pain. You know, as I get older,
Mental,
like I
physical,
think,
emotional, spiritual.
yeah, like even children, like and but our relationship to it is different. But like when we're growing up, like our teeth are falling out and we get wisdom teeth and you fall and you skin your knees and then you get these growth spurts and then your breasts come in, you know, you're there's so many experiences that we would define as pain that are actually like experiences that are a part of our evolution, you know, and I feel like there's so much shame around pain and suffering, you know, and like everybody's supposed to like, you know, walk around, you know, like everything's all good and like, no, I don't experience pain. And yet, like, there's some I wonder, like I should fucking Google the percentage of people who are on painkillers, on antidepressants, on some sort of medication or something for the pain or discomfort within their body. The reality is we're all experiencing it. So why is there this like, why is there this shame around it? You know, I know for even myself, like, you know, like these past days, it's like, oh God, like, why am I feeling like this? Oh, feeling bad because I need to call out of work. And I'm like,
Because,
Ashni, you know, it's fucking okay. Like, what? You're gonna push through and like show up and be cranky and be in pain and then be sharing that with the kids? Hell no. Like, I prefer to stay at home and like writhe in pain and like could do a castor oil pack or like stare at the ceiling or like watch, you know, whatever it is that I'm gonna watch on like stream, you know, lie in my bed or like read something or like cook myself, soak some, whatever it is that I choose to do. But the reality is like we are all experiencing some form of shift and change. And why are we trying to like, it's not even normalized. Why are we trying to like I don't, just like deny the reality that this is just inherent to our experience, the same way that death is inherent to experiencing life. Like, why do we put all these stigmas around pain and suffering? Like, that's just
Well, I'd say
me
it's because we were
experiencing.
conditioned to.
I know, fucking conditioning. Jeez.
Are you a fan of Susan Weed?
I heard of her. She's an herbalist.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not super familiar with her work, but I do know who she is.
Well, I love her. She's a grandma.
Love
And
grandmas.
she in her book, her books, I guess this one is called Healing Wise, is one of her most famous books. And she outlines these three different traditions of healing. And I think it speaks a lot to your question here of why do we, you know, try to deny or avoid the pain. And she outlines that there's the scientific tradition, which treats the body as like a mechanic thing where you can like take out a part and like fix it. And like everything's meant to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like just the parts, very mechanical, very reductive. And then there's the heroic aspect, which is like cleanse and purify. It's like, okay, it's not meant to be fixed, but if you can just cleanse yourself enough, cleanse yourself of the pain, cleanse yourself of the toxins, cleanse yourself of the bad things, then you'll be good enough. You'll be good and you'll feel good. And kind of like, you know, like then you'll kind of like that idea you had about enlightenment. Like if you can just purify yourself enough, then you'll be enlightened forever. And then there's this other aspect, which is the wise woman tradition, which is as you're speaking of, you are speaking of into the wise woman tradition, which is all the ancient grandmas, all the indigenous grandmas of whatever lands we came from before they were colonized by these ways that we exist in now as a dominant society. You know, these ancient ways where the pain was a portal, death is a portal, and they're not something to be cleansed out of our lives or fixed, but rather they are portals into our wholeness and into integrating those aspects of ourselves that have been laying wait in the shadows, that have been pushed aside by these, you know, other ways of being. And this is also part of discovering what's beyond the edge of where our collective consciousness is at. You know, we've never been here before, and these, this pain and death and the decay, in even in little ways, in our own little deaths every day, and then in like the big death, these are portals that we go through as we evolve. Like, this is just part of our experience in the 3D world. So
I love that.
Yeah, so I feel like that kind of, I just wanted to share that because I love how she outlines that, and it's like, wow, it really makes sense. And I feel like I've been on a journey from scientific to hero to wise woman, and kind of embraced each of those traditions, and here we are in this wise woman tradition figuring out how to like unravel those other traditions, and instead of purifying and fixing, be with it. So
yeah, I love Weed. That. Susan Weed. Thank you, Susan Weed. And thank you all of the, you know, my grandmothers and all of the women, all of the beings that have like really held on to these traditions. My abuela from the moon dance, Anaitz Papalo, she's such a beautiful being. And you know, it's so amazing because we go to the moon dance, and she, the moon dance part of it is like we stay up all night, and basically for 4 days and four nights we pray within this sacred circle, and we dance most of the night. And she's, you know, she's a grandma. She's a grandma, and she is definitely experiencing different discomforts and things in her body, and we love her up and shower her with love, but she's there, and with all of that, dancing and moving with so much joy, and not only dancing and moving, but organizing and facilitating and guiding and preparing the ground and holding, opening the space for all of these women, because there's about 200 women, all of these women who are also there dancing and praying and dancing their prayers and sweating and crying their prayers into the earth for all of us. And for me, it's always such a humbling and an honor to be there dancing with her and the other grandmas, and to see them dancing with their whole being. You know, nothing is separate within them. And that's one of the things about the dance. There is the story of the goddess Koyoshalki, And Goyo Shauki's story, she's an earth goddess, is similar to the story of, is it Isis and her partner? He gets dismembered. Mm-hmm. But Koyo Shauki, and how, I think it's Isis, and she brings back all the, and Osiris. She finds all mm-hmm. the pieces. Yeah. So Koyo Shauki is a dismembered goddess. And so when we dance in the moon dance, we're remembering. We're bringing back all those parts of ourselves. And so I feel like when I'm with my grandmothers, and I'm just seeing my beautiful Abuela Carmen and her smile right now, with all of those grandmothers dancing this dance of remembrance, that I'm not going to separate myself anymore. I'm not going to say I'm just going to keep my pain body over there and my spirit body over there and my mental body over there and my astral body and my etheric body. No, all of these bodies, like we called also in the invocation, all of those seven energetic bodies are here now. And this is another gift that I got from another one of my amazing teachers, Star Fuentes. All, and Selena Rodriguez, all of our bodies here now, that none of it needs to be separate. None of it is indeed separate. Mm-hmm. And any idea of separation, that's an illusion. The reality is that we're existing here with all of those things. And so why not, like, you know, be compassionate for one another? You know, I walk around and, like, I realize, like, especially when I'm having these moments, but more and more becoming aware, like, I'm not the only one in pain right now. Yeah. You know, there's other people that are walking around here and they're experiencing discomfort or pain, and it might be mental or physical or emotional. And so that, like, creates a space for me, not even creates a space. It's like, I want to be kinder. You know, mm-hmm. to people. I am kinder to people. I'm more understanding of people. Not to say that it's okay when people, you know, lash out and do things, but I can get it. I understand.
You don't take it personally.
I don't
take
it personally because I know. I mean, certain things, you know, like this, you know, certain things when people act out and do things that definitely influence and impact the greater good in a negative way, or continue to push this conditioning upon us and, like, actually trying to impede an evolution that they could never stop. Those are things that I just don't stand for. But, you know, when I see somebody who is in pain, having compassion and just being kind to everyone, because we are all experiencing this in some way, some shape or form. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just really grateful to have the example of my teachers and my grandmothers. You know, I didn't have my actual grandmothers of my mother and my father growing up. I never met them. They both passed away before I was here or had the opportunity to meet them in the physical form, but I know that they have my back. And that they're here with me, and that they have given me this gift of having these amazing grandmothers that I can continue to learn from and learn from their wise women ways. So I really honor the tribes, the indigenous tribes of this land that are on this earth. And I want to give ashe and power to them now in this eternal now, just giving thanks and giving love and power and fuerza to the tribes of this earth that are carrying these ways and are upholding these traditions, which acknowledge the wholeness of our being mm-hmm. and the remembering of our connection to ourselves and to these precious elements that are the earth, the air, the fire, the water, the stars, and everything that exists within this planet and beyond. Yeah.
I hope listeners there send out a little blessing to their elders and grandmothers and grandfathers, whether they are of their blood lineage or of their spiritual lineage, whatever form they take, because really, truly, they are such a blessing and guide in our lives. How did you meet your grandmothers, your spiritual grandmothers here?
Well, they are in Costa Rica. So I had gone to Costa Rica to live, and in the community that I was living at, Pachamama, which is in Costa Rica, close to Nosara, some of the women were talking about a moon dance, and I had heard about the moon dance when I was still living in New York from a beautiful sister of mine. Here, she told me about the moon dance in Mexico, but I wasn't ready for that at the time. And then when I got to Costa Rica, all the women in that community were going to that moon dance in Costa Rica. So I ended up going there. That was 7 years ago. 7 years ago, I ended up going there and I met Malinali, Anaitz Papalot, Abuela Mercedes, Abuela Carmen, and there were other abuelas at the time as well. And I met them and I remember just feeling like so at home on my abuela's finca, my abuela's land. And every time I go there, I feel so at home. And so that's how I found them. That's how I found them. And really, they are like grandmas, you know. Like, I remember this year, I was sitting with my abuela Carmen and talking with her. And I think I might be experiencing something, some pain or discomfort. And she was like, you know, whenever you are, you know, in that space and you're feeling something, she said, so take a breath and remember where you are. And bring all of yourself into where you are, you know, like, and now that I'm reflecting, you know, she's such a beautiful grandma. She lives in Costa Rica. And now that I'm reflecting, really, it's bringing forward that lesson of remembering that gift of Koyo Shauki, the gift of remembering and bringing all the pieces of ourself back together. Because that's how we can be whole and complete. Not by separating our work life from our personal life, because that, you know, is very hard for most people. You know, if you work, I was just doing some research, you know, most people, they work, I guess, like 40 hours a week or, you know, like, I don't know, at least like 8-hour work days. Like, how are you supposed to separate your personal life from your business life? There is no, you know. But the way is to bring all of yourself into everything. Why should we compartmentalize ourselves into this, and that? You know, and so I'm really grateful to have met my grandmothers and introduced to this tradition of the moon dance, Danza de la Luna, Mekli Yololitzin. And yeah, very grateful for my grandmothers, very grateful for the work they're doing. And there's dances in Costa Rica, in Mexico, in Canada, in Puerto Rico, in Missouri, I believe there's a dance, and there's dances all over the world.
Brazil, so maybe too.
Yeah, so for women, you know, if you're interested, you can contact me after, and I can maybe hook you up with a dance if you're interested in connecting with this beautiful prayer. And it's really a prayer for the remembering of our beings, a prayer for all on this sacred planet and beyond.
So, I love that. Thank you. And you know, something I think that a lot of people find challenging in this remembering is that we still have to eat, we still have to pay our bills, we still have to take care of our kids, we still have to do the things that keep us alive, like, you know.
Yes, it's not separate, you know. Like, yes, you have to, yeah, you just as much as you need to go to yoga class and meditate, you also, in this reality, we have to work, you have to pay bills and do these things. And it's not separate, because as you're able to make money and have your rent, you have a space, you have a home to do your practices in. You have a place to prepare your food, a place to raise your children, a place to grow a garden. you know, all of these things. And the way that we've constructed our reality is we need these certain things, which we call money. You know, maybe we'll create some new construct. Monies. You need some monies, you know. Yeah, I think it's something that people do struggle with. And
right. I think they think that if I'm going to bring my whole self forwards, then it doesn't really fit into this construct of this society that I'm living in, because our society is constructed, you know, from compartmentalizing ourselves and from centering and aligning with productivity and from that external judgment. And so finding your way, you know, without running away into the woods, and finding your way of how do you do your very best to align with that inner alignment and overflow outwards into the world while still having a place to live and having food to eat. Like, what does that look like as we are still in this society, but not necessarily playing by its rules?
I think a big part of it also has to do with like redefining for ourselves what productivity and success look like. Because for me,
what price are you willing to pay to have that?
Yeah. And also like, and not even that, like what price are you willing to pay? Like, what are you willing to shift within your life in order to live in alignment, back to that word, with what true productivity and true success is?
Right.
Because the reality is the productivity as defined by our world is not fucking productive. It's destructive.
It's destructive.
It's destructive. That's not productivity. That's destruction.
And I guess that's what I meant by the price you're willing to pay.
Yes. Totally. And I, you know, like I read, thank you for sharing that and for clarifying that, because what I was reading, I think somebody posted something about plastic on Facebook the other day, like, you know, that there's so much plastic like that. And I was like, you know, what would be really productive right now would be for all production of plastic to be completely stopped, and for the plastic companies to pay their employees to come up with ways. Now the plastic companies need to be redirected towards coming up with ways to recycle and clean the earth of all the plastic that they've created. We don't need to create any fucking more plastic.
Right.
No, we need to stop creating plastic. Plastic companies need to stop creating plastic. Like, that's not productive anymore. You know, so I feel like shifting our understanding of what productivity and success looks like is imperative. Because if you continue to feed into these concepts, it's a concept of productivity. Because the reality is that's not productive. It's counterproductive to continue to produce plastic. Because then, you know, like in 10 years, where are we going to be?
We're going to be living on those plastic islands.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to be like, it's crazy, you know? So I feel like it's really up to the individual to reevaluate and to stop again projecting and aligning ourselves with these external ideas of productivity and success, and really, really look at our lives. You know, just and look at our communities, you know, and see what is productive, what is successful, what is helpful and beneficial for our communities, for our families, like for real, for real. Like, okay. Not like idealizing it.
Yeah. And I feel like what you're saying here, a big part of that is reincorporating death and decay. And that's why decay is sacred, is plastic doesn't decay in nature. Well, it disintegrates and it finds its way into everything, but it's not like decaying like compost into fertile soil. No. And so we have to, I love this idea. You know, I think a lot of what the difference is between productivity that leads to destruction versus productivity in a different light has to do with making that link between death and decay and new life. And I love how you've put it here, the plastic companies need to stop making plastic, and they need to figure out how to decay what plastic we have as a resource, decay it, collect it, and give it it's going to be a man-made process of decay, but nonetheless, you know, close that loop and recycle that. I mean, we recycle already, but you know, like how much we have a certain amount of water in the world, a certain amount of different nutrients in the world. Like we have this fixed amount. So let's just take plastic and make that another thing. Like, okay, there's a fixed amount of it, y'all. We're not making more. Let's recycle it just like the planet recycles all of its elements.
Yeah. I mean, and it maybe, you know, it could be, it might be like, seem like, oh my God, it's, but you know, like, cause I was thinking about it, like, okay, if plastic stops, you know, what could be the fears? Like, oh, all those people are going to lose their jobs. But if their jobs then became to collect the plastic and to then develop like new ways to like recycle and renew things, then we're participating positively in the process of destruction and the death of something that is no longer in service to our lives on this planet. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like that, and that can be applied to so many, many different areas. You know, I feel like there are a few things that definitely need to die.
Right?
Plastic production, you know, like also like the certain, the lots of things that we need to like look at and not be afraid to let go of and just say like, look, okay, you know, plastic had its run and now we're done with it. This thing had its run and now we're done. We're moving on. Why do we need to hold on to it? You know, like, but that requires people like opening up their eyes and not compartmentalizing and putting this part here and this part there and this part there. But if you just walk down your street on garbage day or the day where the recycling, and look at the amount of trash and look at the amount of waste that's being produced, and your whole self is there. You know, it's not like your heart is somewhere else. Like, no, your whole self is there. And you take a look at what you're actually producing and how you're contributing. If we are brave enough to do that, then we can, you know, really begin to change things. But until we continue to compartmentalize and take, not be fully present with what's right in front of us, then these things can continue to exist. And then, you know, something like climate change or something kind of like seems like it comes out of nowhere, when the reality is it's right there on the curb. It's right there in front of us. Like, you know, in terms of like, you know, people and like relationships and, this, there's so much loneliness and things like that in the world, you know, but if you just kind of like walking down your block, take a look at the people who are living next to you, your neighbor or in your building, or, you know, if we just bring more of ourselves into each moment, I feel like so we can just see, you know, it's not like beyond us anymore. And then we can also, it requires bravery, right? Because because when we start to see, then it's like, oh shit, then you start to feel the pain, and then there's suffering too, right? There's all of that. But you can, again, like, again, if we're looking at it and we're doing this healing and we're realigning, it's letting ourselves know it's okay to feel that pain. It's okay to feel scared. Like, oh fuck. Like, there's that fucking plastic island floating in the middle of the earth. Like, shit. You know, like, what are we going to do? You know, like, not just, like, being, like, fucking cynical about it and being, you know, or whatever, just kind of brushing it off as, like, nothing. But, like, the reality of fuck, you know, like, the, you know, like, the life, the sea life, the ocean life, the animals, they're, like, being hurt by these things, like allowing ourselves to be present, allowing ourselves to be, to feel, like it's okay to feel powerless, you know, to feel helpless, to feel angry, to feel joy, to feel bliss, to feel curious, to all the feelings. all the feelings, you know? Like, let's just invite ourselves to just feel all the feelings so that we can deal with what's right in front of us. But if we deny, like, if we continue to deny and dismember ourselves from ourselves and from one another and from the earth, it becomes much more challenging to deal with the things that are right there. Like, for me, it's just, like, simple. Like, you know, if people, I don't know, like, I'm not, like, a necessarily, like, a neuroscientist or, like, a super brain or anything like that, but I feel like it's a relatively simple thing for a company, or maybe not, maybe it's not as simple as I think, but for me, it looks simple to just say to something like plastic and be like, the reality is this is what it's doing to the earth, to look at it, to say, okay, we need to make a change, and then to make those fucking changes.
Yeah. Maybe the people in those plastic companies who are, you know, benefiting from making more plastic and who are like, no way, I'm not going to stop making more plastic. You know, it's their hungry ghost eating away at the world, and maybe they just need a big old soul retrieval.
Oh, shit. Maybe they do.
Soul retrievals for the plastic yes. men and women.
What is soul retrieval? Soul retrieval is bringing back all the parts of yourself.
Right. And then they'd be like, oh, shiz.
They'd be like, oh, shit. You know, like, you know, because they have children, too.
Yeah.
Do they want their children really, like, you know, their children, you know, maybe their children are 2 or 3 now, like in 10 years when their children are 13, what is their experience going to be like if we continue to produce plastic?
Yeah.
I mean, I think like things like that, like just, you know, again, and it goes again to feeling, bringing all of themselves into their job, not separating their personal life from their business life. But thinking about in their business life, like what are they doing and how are their business practices going to affect their children and our children and our communities in the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years?
Right.
60, 70 years.
And is all that money going to save their children from, you know, the effects of the plastic? I don't think so. It might isolate them in a tower separate from everyone else for a little longer. But it's not going to save them from it in the end. It's not going to protect them from the effects.
No. Yeah, this is a cake. This kind of went everywhere.
I know. Right?
Here, there, and everywhere. I love this. I love this. But it is, you know, again, it's all connected.
It is.
All connected. And I feel like, you know, I just want to say for anybody who is out there and experiencing pain or discomfort or, you know, suffering in any way, like, you're not alone and you've never been alone. And that's not to say that we need to feel so overwhelmed and encumbered by this suffering that we fall into like a prolonged state of helplessness or trauma from that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to, but the reality is that in acknowledging, you know, the pain and suffering and that it's just a part, you know, and that you will survive this, you know, and that, like you said earlier, Natalie, that this pain and suffering can be a portal to growth and expansion and into experiencing more life than you were able to experience before, or to experience life in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're not alone in this. So there's no need to feel this helplessness, and that you will come out of this, you know? And yeah, I just want to say that.
Beautiful. Well, Ashni, can you share with us what you offer and where people can go to connect with you?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. I offer many different things. I'm a flower essence therapist. Flower essence therapist. And what is that? So flower essence therapy is a modality that uses vibrational remedies to bring one into alignment, bring your heart, body, mind, and soul into alignment. And my practice is really focusing on soul, like reconnecting people to their souls. And so I do private flower essence sessions. You can get a one-on-one with me, which is just a flower essence session and a customized blend where we basically reignite your flame. We focus, we look at one particular area of your life, and we use flower essences to support that. I also have 3-month flower essence journeys. I also am a light language practitioner. Light language, it comes from the curanderas and curanderos in Mexico. And it is a modality that uses sacred form and color to reconfigure how you're communicating with the world around you. I'm a Reiki master, a tarot reader, a massage therapist, and I practice all of these at my second home in Brooklyn called Minka, minkabrooklyn.com. I practice my flower essences there, and I also share meditations weekly. I share Osho active meditations, and this is a technique that uses breath to connect to the different energetic layers of your being. I do that every week on Thursday mornings at 8:45 a.m. What else? So you can find out more about me at sunderashni.com, sunderashni.com. If you're not in Brooklyn, I also do flower essence sessions, distance Reiki and light language sessions online. So if you want, you can email me at lovingseeds@gmail.com. Loving, L-O-V-I-N-G, L-O-V-I-N-G-S, seeds, S-E-E-D-S, @gmail.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at Ashni Living the Dream. I'm going to be at Spirit Reavers this year for the third year at the Empowerment Center.
You're going to be at Sun or Moon or both?
Both. I'm going to be at both. So the Empowerment Center is a village that is basically dedicated to supporting the healing and supporting the empowerment of women from all cultural backgrounds, of all sexual identities and orientations, of all ages, shapes, and sizes. We're really focusing on creating within the space of Spirit Weavers a place where all women feel welcome, heard, and respected. So I will be there. I'm also going to be teaching at the Emma Kume Gathering. That's happening in August, and that's sort of like the East Coast version of Spirit Weavers. I have lots of other goodies in store, so check me out, sunderashni.com. Again, if you're more interested in working with me one-on-one, I do virtual sessions and in-person sessions in Brooklyn. So hit me up.
Amazing. And we'll link to all that in the show notes as well. Amazing.
Yes.
Ashni, it was great to talk with you. And also, folks, you can check out Ashni in the Self-Care Club. And I'll link to that episode in the show notes as well. We get deep in that interview. So thank you so much for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you. And we made it happen, this Mercury retrograde. It's so beautiful. I'm happy we did it.
Me too.
It feels so good.
Thanks, Mercury.
Thanks, Mercury.
Thank you all so much for listening. And I want to invite you all again to come hang out live with me and Nikki Silvestri from episode 102 for our free live online gathering where you can come hang out with her and ask her anything about shadow work. Her episode is episode 102, so go listen to it. And if you love it and you want to get to talk with her, then check us out, dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret to get on the list. And all the details will be emailed to you very soon. Thank you, and I cannot wait to see you there. Plus, when you get on my email list at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret, you will get a few emails a week from me where I'm sharing stories, tools, and tips to help you thrive as an empath, intuitive, or healer, being true to who you are. I know it's not always easy in this world, and there's a lot of confusing things that we're all navigating personally and collectively, so I am sharing through email, stories, tools, and tips to help you thrive. Get on the list at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret, and I will see you there.